This afternoon, June the 9th, 1977, I am sitting in the home of Lucille Kitzmiller, who was the wife of A.B. Kitzmiller, professor of psychology at the college for many years, and each formerly was a student at the college, and I wanted to talk with Lucille about her reminiscences or recollections of her early student days and then coming back as a faculty wife. And of course, she's had kept in touch and a close association with the college since that time. You were saying, Lucille, that your connection with the college was back to 1902?
Yes. The superintendent of schools at Canal Fulton was an alumnus of the Men's Union.
And his name was?
John Folt.
O-C-H-T. Right.
And his daughter, Dorothy, had gone to Men's Union, and she assisted him in teaching high school at Canal Fulton. So he interested me in Mount Union College, and I started in college in 1908. I had spent the previous year teaching a country school down in Carroll County before coming to Mount Union. Well, in 1908, there was no Mr. Riker, who had been president, resigned that fall, and Dr. Schunk was the acting president.
But he was a professor of Greek at that time, wasn't he?
Yes, and he was quite noted throughout the country. Mm-hmm. I know when my father brought me over here to Mount Union, and that, by the way, that was the horse and buggy days. He couldn't leave the Alliance before taking me to introduce me to Dr. Schunk. So we had a visit with him back in 1908 when I first started to.
Now, your name then was?
Lucille Finifrock.
Finifrock, right.
Yes.
All right. And so you, when you started then, and Dr. Schunk was the acting president.
Yes.
And did you start as a freshman, or did you have to do preparatory work?
I had some preparatory work, for instance, Latin.
Mm-hmm.
I had to take Latin. In the summer of 1908, I took some Latin under Dorothy Folt, and then I entered the preparatory department at Mount and took some more Latin.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were here when McMaster came then, were
yes.
you? And I've seen pictures and read a description that there was what they called Susie's Band, and
yes.
quite a student group. Were you in
yes.
that?
Yes, I was in April of 1909.
And you went down to the station, did
yes.
you?
Yes. Yes, and it was a great day.
And you paraded up.
That's right.
That's right.
Here was a young man that was coming to take over the presidency of Mount Union College. And we were all looking forward to it with great excitement.
And of course, he had a tremendous personality even as a young man and made a great imprint, didn't he?
Yes, indeed, he did. And I can recall when he got up to speak, well, he was all smiles. Had a very nice disposition and a very friendly, outgoing person. Mm-hmm. And we took to him at once.
Well, I think that was true during most of his career here. He had that sort of a charisma. He came through so well. Well, during your student days, there probably were some professors. Was Dr. Webster one? Who do you recall? Anyone in particular? During your college days?
I recall Dr. Webster, history,
mm-hmm.
Harry Martin, English, and Professor Gibbs. I think he was an outstanding professor.
He was in English, wasn't he?
He was an English professor, and I know he would call the names of people in his class, and he called my name out as Lucille Finefrock.
Oh.
And that was very embarrassing to me.
Sure.
How to get him to change. That was on my mind for some time.
Well, now, you graduated in what year then?
Well, I was at 1908, 1909, 1910, the 2 years. And then I stayed out 2 years. The first year I taught at Dover Center up near Cleveland. I couldn't save any money that year, which I wanted to do to get back to college. So the second year then, I took a country school near Canal Fulton and stayed at home. I was ready to come back to Mount Union then in 11 and 12, 13 and 14, and I graduated in 1914. And,
well, now, was Elliott Hall wasn't completed then?
I was one of the women that the first ones to stay in Elliott Hall.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, we moved into Elliott Hall. We didn't have heat until late in the fall. We walked over, what do you call them? I can't think of the word that I want to use there, sawdust and the shavings from wood and so, so forth. It wasn't completed, but I was one of the first ones to stay. To live in Elliott Hall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, before that time, before that dormitory, where did girls stay on campus?
Stayed around in the homes, and I stayed with the Burges, 1680 South Union. Mrs. Burge, Mr. Burge, as you know, they are the parents of Dr. Perry King's wife.
Oh, yes.
And they kept a boarding table. So I had the privilege of working with them and earning my board and room. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years, I was with the Burges, and there are no finer people than the Burges.
Now, that would be a little step, wouldn't it, from there to the college?
No. No. It was not very far. I sometimes did have to rush a good bit at noon. I had 1 o'clock class, a history class, under Dean Bowman. And I wanted to do as much as I could to take care of cleaning up the table and helping with the dishwashing. So I was kind of frustrated many a time when I went into Dean Bowman's history class, where I met my future husband.
That's right. Well, that's right. You met Kitsy on the campus. You met him in that class. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he spoke up. He had no trouble in talking and telling about American history. And I was rather shy, I think, when I was a student, and sort of admired anyone that could talk in class. And my first date was over the telephone to play a game of tennis.
Well, he was a great tennis player.
So that was our first date, a game of tennis, and the tennis courts were well, near the railroad there as it crossed South Union, right across from where the Birches lived.
Oh, yes. Yes. Well, I remember reading in the days, of course, tennis is back popular today, but at that time it was a little more popular and then it declined, but reading in the Dynamo about the games of love that took place in the on the tennis courts at that time. So it was evidently not only a tennis match, but another kind of matchmaking, too, in that. Well, were you in a sorority when you were in?
Yes, I joined the Alpha Sigma Alpha sorority, and sometime later that sorority became Delta 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 sorority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now, was Delta Gamma was not on campus then?
It had been before Alpha Sigma Alpha.
I see.
It had been Delta Gamma, that's right.
And then that was a sort of a local sorority, and out of that then came the The tri-deltas, the delta, delta, delta.
Delta gamma was national.
No, I mean the alpha sigma.
Alpha sigma. That sorority was in state colleges.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. And their charters were taken away from them so that Alpha Sigma Alpha was not the sorority that the girls wanted to
hear.
Then I was here when we applied for entrance into the Delta 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 sorority.
Well, now, the College Lakes weren't dug. They were a little later, isn't that right, during your student days? They came a year or two later, is that right?
As I recall, the lakes were in...
They were.
Yes, mm-hmm. were in. And as I remember, a bridge was built across, and seems to me our class built a bridge. It is there no more. But I think that was such a... I think the lakes were there.
Mm-hmm. And roads and streets were muddy and...
Yes.
Seasons of the year, right?
That's right, and Mount Union was certainly it's not the college that we know today.
Right.
Yes.
Now, were you able to come and go on the streetcar? Could you make connections that way? You spoke about coming over by horse and buggy.
Yes. I could, from Canal Fulton, I could get a train that would take me to Maslin. Then it was a B&O, and I would walk from the B&O station to the streetcar station, quite a little ways, especially carrying a suitcase, and take the streetcar to Canton, then take another streetcar from Canton to Alliance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a lot of transferring, but that's much faster than horse and buggy.
It got you where you wanted to go.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well, then after you left Mount Union, let's see, Kitsy went in the missionary service of the church for a year or two, didn't he?
I will go back to the first year that I was back, 11 and 12, that was that my second appearance
yes.
at Mount. And my junior year then, 11 and 12, I went a great many places with Albanus Wayne Kitzmiller. We were quite good attenders of activities on the campus. Our senior year, he decided that he would become an educational missionary. He applied to the Methodist Board, and he was accepted to go to Batavia, Java.
Mm-hmm.
And so... in 1914, the fall of 1914, when the war was on, World War One, he went to Batavia Java as an educational missionary. He came back in 1916, in December of 1916. He had an illness there, typhoid fever, that kept him in bed for 16 weeks. And for reasons of health, he came back before his 3 years was up. Mm-hmm. We were married on December of 1917.
Mm-hmm. And then he had a career as a school administrator, is that right? A teacher and administrator in the public school.
He was superintendent of schools at Louisville.
Yes.
In 1917.
Yes.
Yeah. He started in September.
Then when did he decide to go into psychology?
We had been in Louisville 8 years, and we had our family, 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls. And he decided that he would like to go into college teaching. So we moved to Columbus in 1925, and we were there 2 years. He got his master's degree, and he started on his doctor's degree. And in 1927, then they were needing a psychology teacher here at Mount Union College, and through the efforts of Dr. McMaster and Dean Brady Bowman, he secured the job as head of the psychology department, the Lewis Miller psychology department. Mm-hmm. And in August of 1927, we moved to Alliance. Mm-hmm. And in the summer of 1928, he finished his work and had a doctor's degree in philosophy. Mm-hmm.
How did you feel coming back to the campus in a different capacity after a decade or more had passed?
We were very happy. We were very happy to come back. I remember after he had gotten his master's degree, well, he looked around for a job because he just expected to stay there 1 year in Columbus and get his master's degree. There was no opening except maybe out of the state. He'd have to move out of the state. And we didn't want to move out of Ohio. So while we were there, he just decided he would go on and work toward his doctor's degree. And it was a good move. It was a very good move.
Now, you found, were there some, of course, McMaster and Bowman were still president and dean, and
that's
Herman
right.
Carr was still the business manager.
That's right.
And I suppose... would there be any faculty at all still when you were a student, or was this all changed?
Let's see. I can't recall.
Of course, Shunk was gone by that time.
Yes. Dean Bowman was here.
The Bowman McMaster, and Herman Carr was still the business manager, but I guess there'd been a complete turnover.
And Dean Stevenson was the Dean of Women at that time.
Right.
And there were many changes in the college. The college had grown, and I was a member of Campus Circle, and for many years. So yes, we were very happy to come back to Mount Union.
Now, did you rent the place or buy the place on Miller? At least that's where I always associated the Kitzmillers. Or did you live somewhere else before there?
We lived on State Street 1 year. It was a house that was owned by the Speeses, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was a school man, and right close to the varsity aisle.
Oh,
we lived there 1 year. The house was sold. So we looked around for a house and didn't find any house to rent. So we bought the house on Miller where we lived. In fact, I lived there 45 years.
Is that right? That long? Well, no wonder I associate Kitzmillers with that place on Miller.
It was a dead-end street then, and our four little children... It was quite a worry that year that we lived on State Street. The children getting out in the street with the streetcar and the automobiles and all the traffic. So this was a dead-end street, and it was quite attractive to us for that reason.
Right. Well, now, one of the things, of course, that many alumni coming back would remember Kitsy for would be his coon hunting.
Yes.
When was he always interested in hunting? Or did he take that up later, or when?
Always. As a small boy, I have heard him speak about getting up early in the morning and looking after his traps and getting back in time for school. In fact, he had the reputation so that he acquired the name of Skunk.
Is that right?
As a boy going to country school.
Well, I'm sure this would go along with the trapping. But I remember when I came back to the campus, one nice Sunday afternoon in early March, getting a call from him and saying, you're doing anything? And I said, not particularly. He said, well, it's time to go after sassafras. Is that
yes.
time of the spring? And he was a great outdoors yes. man.
Sassafras, so he would walk out along the railroad and he
right.
would pick out a sassafras tree. And another thing that he would bring in the spring was the skunk cabbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so you knew that spring was on the way.
Yes, they used to say that was the official sign of spring when you
yes,
when you could find
right.
that. Yes.
And he was quite interested in tennis, and he coached tennis teams for a while. And I can see him getting ribbon and some pins and sort of working out prizes for the different groups that played tennis.
Mm-hmm. Well, although he was not able to complete his tenure in the missionary field, he remained, when he came here, he was a very dedicated and active lay person in the church. And
yes.
so he not only was active on the campus, but in the, what at that time was called the college church.
Yes, that's right. He was superintendent of the Sunday school for many years, Union Avenue Methodist Church. And in his college days, he was president of the YMCA.
Yes.
And he went to Igglesmere one summer to a conference, and I happened to be president of the YMCA the same year, and attended a conference, but we were not going together at that time.
I see.
That was our senior
mm-hmm.
year, and he was looking forward to going overseas and teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I remember in as a student, I didn't attend this church regularly, but when we came back, we did in 1940. But I remember on Sunday morning on that east, southeast section there, the Kitzmillers always filled a pew. The family, your children were still in high school and smaller, and but always is very striking to see the entire family seated there. And I think many people and many students associated not only Kitsy with psychology, but the family with very fine Christian testimony that way.
I can recall Dr. Headland, very encouraging. You know, I don't know why we chose that part of the church. Whether it was close to a door that we could get out if we needed to or not. But Dr. Headland used to commend us so for how well behaved our family was. And, of course, a mother liked to hear words like that,
right.
knowing that you couldn't always count on them.
Right. No, I think it was a very inspiring sight for many people. And, of course, you're... Children have continued that, and Kitsy did, and you still are active in the church circles over here. And do you think of any anecdotes or experiences, even as a student year or later when you come back with the faculty? I know as soon as I go, you'll say, "Gee, I wish I had remembered that." It's kind of hard in the spur of the moment, but I thought maybe with Dean Bowman, or maybe if you had something with Professor Shunk, maybe something would come to mind on that.
Well, I don't recall anything outstanding. The changes that have taken place in the college, it's just marvelous. And of course, the changes in our country
right.
Have been many, and it just is wonderful, and I'm so proud of the college, and I think we have a beautiful campus, and the very nice buildings, and situation here. It's just a nice place to retire in and to live near Mount Union College.
That's a nice statement for you to make. And you're making that from the vantage of how many years. Now, you're old enough I can ask you your age, you see.
Yes, I'm 87 and a half, and started here in 1908, so you see, I've been connected.
You go back. So when you say you've seen changes, you mean exactly that. You've seen a great many.
That's right. But you know, the strange thing is when I first started, there were terms, mm-hmm. four terms in a year. And a scholarship then gave you $10 a term. When I came back the second time to the amount had changed to semesters. And then the scholarship amounted to $15 for the semester. Now, as I understand, the amount is back to the term system.
We're back to the term system again.
Yes.
And the scholarships amount to much, much more than that. Of course, prices have changed, sometimes the students think there haven't been much in the way of changes, and they need some perspective like this.
But in the curriculum, too, quite a change. When I first came, there was a commercial department, a normal department. Well, then they concentrated on the arts and science.
Yes.
And
try to make it a liberal arts.
That's the situation today.
Well, of course, when you first came, it was probably just what? Chapman Hall and Miller in 1908, Chapman Hall, Miller Hall, and the President's
Morgan Gym.
Morgan Gym, that's
Morgan
right.
Gym,
yes.
And the President's House.
Yes.
South End.
Where Cope Music
yes.
Hall is now.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And very few automobiles. Now, in fact, when we came back in 27, there weren't very many automobiles on the campus. Now, it's Hartshorne Street and Miller Avenue that goes through the campus. You can hardly find a parking place.
That's right. Well, now, when you remember your commencement, where was it held? Was it held out on the campus?
On the west side of Chapman Hall.
Yes.
And fortunately, it was a nice day, and the weather didn't interfere with commencement. That's right.
Now, would they have sort of seats or bleachers put
yes,
up for people?
Yes, bleachers that were put up.
I remember.
Yes, and my husband gave the ivy a ration
that year.
The ivy was had been planted on the west side of Chapman Hall and grew up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember seeing a picture of one of those commencements in which there were Model T Fords pulled right up and people were sitting in the cars watching the commencement.
Yes.
Right there.
Yes, a Model T Ford. That was the Ford. That was a car that we first owned. And as I said, most people had Model T Fords,
mm-hmm.
and there were very few cars on the campus. Even in 27, when we came back.
Well, you were here when they had some of the great football teams then. You remember some of them. Harry Geltz was a quarterback,
yes.
and some of these names were when they played University of Michigan and some of those teams.
And basketball.
Yes.
I can recall George Weimer, Sr., on the basketball team, and at that time he had red hair.
Now, did they play in Morgan Gym, or did they play those games elsewhere?
In Morgan Gym, and I recall someplace downtown. I don't know where it would be, there was a place downtown.
I think someone said there was a skating rink that they used at times down there.
That probably was it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's... Well, you were interested in the YW. Were you interested in music? Were there other extracurricular activities when you were in college?
I took some voice lessons, but I soon learned that was not my field.
I see.
Yes. And after I left Mount Union, then I taught in the Canal Fulton High School for 3 years.
I see.
Before my marriage.
Yes. Well, this has been most interesting to have this resume, a recollection of your student days, and when you come back again on the campus of Mount Union. Appreciate it very much, Lucille. Okay.